fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, September 19th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we are going to rank our favorite body horror movies. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com. And I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
BJ Colangelo.
Hi, 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 yeah.
And editor and chief film critic Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
All right, guys, so we're gathered here today because The Substance comes out in theaters tomorrow by the time people are listening to this. Chris has a review on slashfilm.com. I'll link to that in the show notes. Chris and I talked about it on yesterday's Water Cooler episode. Great movie, incredible body horror film. I would honestly put this among the best ever made. So do we want to maybe disqualify it because we're kind of doing this list in honor of this movie, or should we allow The Substance to be a contender here before we even get started?
Toss it in there, man. Let's shake this up.
Okay. All right. So, Jacob, I want to toss it to you because I'm sure you have some ideas about maybe the structure of this episode and what you think we should do here.
Yeah, I want us to end up with a top five. I want us to rank that top five. And how we get there will be a process. I've asked everybody to come armed with a few titles they want to include for sure. But first, I kind of want to go around real quick and see how we all choose to define body horror. Because as I was doing my prep for this episode, I saw some lists and some rankings online from other outlets where I kind of did a, not sure I agree with this being a body horror movie. So I want to say my definition and see where you guys fall as well. Mine is a body horror movie is defined by a sense of terror coming from the transformation or degradation of a human body.
Yeah, I like that. That feels like everything falls under that umbrella. Anybody else have any additions to that?
Yeah, I also think that a very distinct difference between body horror and, I don't know, I think like possession movies also kind of get lumped in with body horror sometimes, is that I also think that the horror needs to be rooted in the change of the body, because in a possession movie, for example, you're more upset by the possession and less about what it's doing to your body. You're upset about that demonic entity or whatever, and not that your skin's fallen off.
Yeah, that's a good distinction because, like, in possession things, the part of the fear, I think, is your body is moving maybe without your consent or something like that. And yeah, I think of body horror more as like there's a morphing going on. There's a transformation and some sort of like sickening thing happening to you, not just necessarily through you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, similarly, this is why I want to bring up a title or two that I don't think are body horror movies, even though they frequently are described as body horror movies. John Carpenter's The Thing is a masterpiece. It's one of the greatest movies of all time. But those are alien creatures who are taking on the form of a human body. This is not the destruction. The horror of that film is not about the destruction of individual human bodies. It's about alien beings taking on the form of human bodies and twisting that. So can we all agree that The Thing is not a body horror movie, even though as great as it is?
I actually had that on my list. So
I had it on mine too, but I don't know. This is that weird gray area. Because it's like, how seriously does it need to be for the entire movie to be considered a body horror film? Like, can one character really experience body horror and then the whole thing? Or does it have to be, it shouldn't have to be multiple characters, right? I don't know. How do you draw that line?
I don't know. Maybe we should draw that line in conversation as we dive into this. Mm-hmm. So, Ben, I'm thinking we can kind of do a roundtable here. Each of us go around and toss a title in and out. We make a little master list. And we kind of can decide as a group if something belongs on a list or if it is a lock or, you know, or if we've all agreed it maybe not and take it from there.
Yeah, definitely. I'll probably be more of the administrator of this episode since I'm not nearly as into horror as the rest of you three are, but I brought a couple titles just to kind of toss into the mix here and there, but I'm curious what everybody thinks. And yeah, I'll keep track of all this stuff and we'll make sure that we get it going.
All right, cool. Should I get started with an obvious one to get us going?
Absolutely.
Sure. I think that if somebody asked me to name a body horror movie, the first one I would mention will be David Cronenberg's The Fly. I think it's one of the best horror movies ever made. And the idea that they took this really great, but ultimately, you know, hokey 50s, you know, B-movie premise of a man turning into a fly and transforming it into this, yes, truly disgusting horror film, but also a metaphor for the AIDS epidemic or cancer or just how it feels to watch somebody's life crumble away as their body degrades. It's one of the most moving and intimately terrifying horror movies ever made. And it's because we know these characters. So while Jeff Goldblum's lead scientist, Seth Brundle, we get to know him and like him early and often enough that as you watch his body wither and waste away as he transforms, keeps us from being, you know, a hokey monster movie and really elevates it into something more meaningful and profound. And I think that Cronenberg is the king of body horror. Everybody knows that. And I think this movie is we can't discuss this subgenre without this movie being on a list.
Oh, yeah, the only question I have is how many Cronenberg movies are going to make it on this list?
I have a few here. Also, there's two Cronenbergs as well, so for us to consider.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, when you're the master of something, it's because you've earned that title. So if you get more than one, no one's upset about it. The Fly was also on my list for all the reasons that Jacob said, and also because I think this is one of the general public's most obvious exposure to body horror, because even if people haven't seen The Fly, they know about The Fly because it has become just so iconic, literally, with Brundle Fly and birthing maggots and all of just the grossness.
All right, Chris, what is one that you wanted to put forth here?
Let's get the Cronenbergs out of the way. So we got The Fly. On my list, I have three Cronenberg films, but they're from different Cronenbergs. So I have The Fly, I have Videodrome, and then I have Possessor, which is Brandon Cronenberg's movie, David Cronenberg's son. And those, to me, are three of the most, memorable body horror movies. They're very different in how they approach body horror. I think Jabe did a really good job covering The Fly. The body horror in Videodrome is much different than the body horror in The Fly. It's more, I don't want to say fantastical, but so it's not the same sort of your body is deteriorating. It's more
it's an evolution as opposed to deterioration.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And then you have Possessor, where the body horror is rooted in just obscenely graphic violence. Some of the most graphic violence ever captured on film. Those are three of my picks, and I already said The Thing. So I had four total. So those were all of mine. I don't know how we want to, but I feel like we should definitely get Cronenberg hammered down, because as we said, he's when you think of body horror, you think of David Cronenberg.
Videodrome in particular is kind of a title that we can't ignore or avoid. It's way too important and way too major. And as Chris said, it's way different than The Fly, because in Videodrome, the idea of people transcending traditional human flesh and evolving, whereas the Fly, despite being a fantastical sci-fi premise, it's ultimately about a body falling apart, whereas Videodrome about bodies changing. And you know, it's gross, but the movie is not is not asking you to be grossed out by a recognition of the body changing. It's asking you to be grossed out by bodies doing things bodies shouldn't do, and that to me makes it way different than The Fly and way worthy of conversation here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also had Videodrome on my list as well, even though I have a soft spot for Existenz. Videodrome is obviously the better of the two that are dealing with sort of the evolution of flesh.
Did anybody else have Possessor on their list?
I did. Possessor is, I know it's Chris's favorite film from a few years ago. It was up there for me too. It's maybe not as direct in terms of a body changing, but the idea of the psychological impact of losing control of your body, as depicted in Possessor, is really unique. And even though maybe the direct violence on the screen isn't properly body horror, the idea of your mind being invaded and your mind changing is an interesting evolution on, Cronenberg, the first ideas. BJ, where do you fall on Brandon Cronenberg in general and on Possessor?
I really like Brandon Cronenberg. I have such a soft spot for both Brandon Cronenberg and Jennifer Lynch, two people whose filmographies I look and I go, I know who your dad is, which I just love, but I think that Brandon Cronenberg has such a, like, there's something very refined about his approach to body horror. Even when you look at something like Antiviral, which is not super body horror, but I mean, is close enough to it. But yeah, Possessor is wild as hell.
I forget, Ben, were you a Possessor fan?
I was, yeah. I mean, it's gnarlier than I typically go as a viewer, but man, yeah, incredibly powerful and just, yeah, kind of an unforgettable viewing experience.
I think we need to have Brandon represented at least in this part of the list before we lock down a top five. So on my little personal doc, I'm using to follow this. I've locked it into our for consideration pile. Ben, what's on your list of we haven't talked about yet?
So James Gunn's Slither is one that I was thinking about, which is just like so disgusting. I saw that movie so many years ago and I've not revisited it, but some of the imagery from that movie is still burned into my brain. Just like the grotesquerie of how extreme the body horror gets in that movie, I feel like makes it a contender for this list. I don't know how much of this list and our, we can have this as part of our conversation too, is like, which of these movies are maybe the best, or like if the body horror in them is so effective that that's the criteria that we're judging it on, you know? Like, so I'm not sure exactly what distinction we're going to come down on there, but in terms of just the extremity of body horror, James Gunn's Slither came to mind for me.
Yeah, this is on my list too. I think that in terms of like the splattery side of this subgenre, like for example, I considered Reanimator, the, you know, very loose H.P. Lovecraft adaptation from Stuart Gordon, but I decided not to bring it into my list because Reanimator is very much about the effect on corpses, and I don't consider zombies body horror. I consider that once the body's dead, it becomes something different. Whereas Slither, the characters who are experiencing these extraterrestrial induced changes where their bodies are undergoing some really heinous things happening to them, like there's a really upsetting darkly comedic imagery in this film. I think the fact that the characters are living through it, and in the case of Michael Rooker's villain, learning to like it, is what's important and sets us apart from other splattery movies. Chris and BJ, does Slither qualify for you here?
Yeah, I think it does. It's a lot of fun. It's a very silly movie, but that movie is chock full of body horror. I mean, not just the Michael Rooker character, but I forget the actress's name, but who she like balloons up into like this giant bubble woman infested with worms, and so it's definitely loaded with stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it definitely counts. I will say that I didn't put it on my list, if only because there are three movies that I wasn't 100% sure that other people would bring to the table, and I wanted to bring them to the table, but Slither was on my short list for sure.
Well, what else is on your list, BJ? Lay us out with something that none of us thought about.
All right, so the first one is Tetsuo the Iron Man. This is a Japanese film from 1989 from Shinya Tsukamoto. It's about a guy and a society where they start sprouting pieces of metal from their body because, you know, one's in a hit-and-run accident and gets, you know, shard of metal in his leg, and then the body starts morphing with the metal. Somebody shaves their face and, you know, a little bit of the nick of the razor blade. Now there's metal in their face. And so it's about people who are not only becoming like man with machine, and they're becoming these like fleshy metal hybrid monsters, but then they're also, a lot of them are having like a sexual interest in, you know, this sort of thing. It's very Cronenberg. It's very much, you know, Japan does Cronenberg, but it is so disgusting and not a lot of people have seen it, and I need more people to have seen it.
I've seen one of the sequels. I saw Tetsuo the Bullet Man and found it really jarring. And I've always associated this series probably incorrectly with a certain subgenre. I'm not sure if what you call it, but like the Tokyo Gore Polices and the Mutant Girl Squad, like the really over-the-top Japanese body horror, which I just can't get behind. But I get the impression that Tetsuo is, if not more stripped down, a bit more horror-focused instead of being fantastical like those are. Am I correct in that?
Totally. Yeah, these movies, I think, very much laid the groundwork for that later boom of, like, Japanese gore that we would get in, like, the 2000s. But this is still, it's very practical. It's dealing with a lot of, like, everyman characters just being cursed with this body horror, but the actual visuals of the way that metal just like protrudes from their bodies is wild looking. I've really never seen anything like it.
This is a case where I know this movie is really well regarded, but like I said, having not seen it, having only seen one of the sequels, I can't like give it my personal thumbs up, but I do know that this is, movie is kind of a big deal in this genre, so I think we should at least keep it in consideration for now. Ben or Chris, have you seen it?
I've never seen it.
No, I've not seen it either.
Yeah, I think if you just like Google an image, you'll be like, oh shit, yeah, that counts. Because it's really gnarly looking. So I had that one on there. Another one that I put on here is, in my opinion, just like one of the pinnacles of body horror, which is Brian Usna's Society. I am all about the shunting. I am all about the sexualization of body horror and embracing how disgusting your body becomes when it becomes one with another human being. It's just the grossest thing in the world, but so funny. And I love the idea of the elite actually being these gross flesh monsters who fuck each other.
I've never even heard of this one, BJ.
Oh my God. You've never heard of Society at all? Ben, what a treat you have.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the outside looking in a category like this.
It's another one that I'll admit, BJ, I also haven't seen it, but I do. I'm behind on Brian Yuzna. I've seen more movies he's produced than he's directed. So,
yeah, I've seen Society, and I would definitely consider it worthy of the list. It's great, especially like the ending is really where it goes full throttle. Like the last act of the film is just like incredible. Like
even flesh orgy.
Like, even if like you don't like the rest of the movie, the ending like puts it over the top.
So what's the other one you had, BJ?
And the other one I had, this one was a little sleeper of a movie from 2008 called Splinter. And Splinter deals with this sort of like parasitic thing that's affecting people. And the reason that I'm counting it is because they don't die before their bodies turn into a thing. They experience the body horror. It's very disgusting. And then they die and turn into a creature. Also, Shea Whigham's in this playing like a white trash like villain. And I love that for him. But some of the body horror in Splinter is some of the grossest things I've ever seen. In particular, one man watches his own arm break itself. And like the sound that it makes just lives in my head rent free. But yeah, Splinter's disgusting. And they become these like spiky, gross monsters. Their flesh starts moving in ways it shouldn't. Their bodies start moving in ways they shouldn't. It's like, it's so upsetting to watch.
So that maybe that's a good transition into another thing that I had on my list, which I wasn't sure if it would fully qualify, which is M. Night Shyamalan's Old. Because there's that moment in the sort of cave on the beach where that one character has that same kind of bone snapping experience that seems to be against their own will. And that is a form of body horror, but I don't know if we would necessarily call Old a body horror movie. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I am a big Old booster. This movie is ridiculous and I love every weird, deranged, stupid second of it. But I just don't think it qualifies among some of the heavy hitters that we've already talked about.
Yeah. I definitely think that it's body horror in the same way that like Thinner is body horror, where it's the changing of the body is, as fantastical it is, like something that does happen to us in real life, but the fact that it's not playing by real life rules, it's what makes it so scary. But I do think that, you know, the more grotesque, over the top body horror movies would push them off the list, but they are still body horror movies as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jacob, should I just run through the other things that I have written down here?
Yeah, by all means. I think we're at the point where I want to let's start running down the ones that we have left or ones that we just want to shout out before we move on.
Okay, so District 9 is one that I was thinking about because basically the guy kind of turns into a cockroach alien bug over the course of it. And that transformation's pretty gnarly. I'm not sure if that's big enough or really falls into the parameters of exactly what we're talking about here. Black Swan, similar thing happens to Natalie Portman's character in that movie. It's a little bit more psychological than literal, but you know, who knows what that movie is. kind of bonkers. And then a film that I've never seen, but I hear talked about in these terms a lot is Kevin Smith's Tusk, which I know people have a lot of strong feelings about, but yeah, I guess Justin Long gets turned into a walrus in that movie. So that's a thing.
Tusk is an aggressively terrible movie. One of my most hated films of all time. But it is body horror. I just don't want it on our list.
Fair enough.
The only thing I have left on my list, I tossed up between two movies I love to death, but I think they both may barely miss. And that is from the same director, Raw and Titan from Julia, pardon my bad pronunciation, Ducournau. Oh, goodness, people are cringing right now. Raw and Titan are both films I love to death. I actually like Raw a little bit more. It's a coming-of-age cannibal movie where a woman goes to college and her body starts giving her all kinds of aggressive suggestions that maybe she likes eating other people's flesh. And Titan was her follow-up about a woman who has sex with a car and becomes impregnated with a car baby. And they're both delightfully fucked up movies. I think they're both incredibly rich and interesting. I like Raw a lot more, to be honest. I think Raw is a more relatable, interesting, more straightforward movie in ways I think make it more powerful, even though I think Titan is one hell of a thing. So I'm willing to put them out there and then retract them, but I don't think we can talk about this list without at least mentioning, once again, pardon my French pronunciation, Ducournau's filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these were also on my short list as well, because I do quite like both of these movies, but I just think that some other people have hit so much harder and been so much more overt with their body horror that she just like gets squeaked out.
Yeah, another one I was just thinking of as you were talking, Jacob, is An American Werewolf in London. Do you think that might count here?
I was actually going to suggest that, because it seems like of all the werewolf movies, that's the one that really leans into like the horror of the transformation. Even like the Wolfman is very low key in the transformation, and American Werewolf really goes hard with its big transformation scene.
I had not considered werewolves as being body horror. I mean, I guess I got digging my heels here. If zombies aren't, you know, when zombies are dead, though, werewolves are still living beings. BJ, help me out here. BJ, are werewolves body horror?
I always, like, so I think, like, body horror is an umbrella, and then there are other subcategories that can fit underneath that, and that's where I put werewolf movies, is that, like, yeah, they are body horror. It's like they're an and sort of situation, but they're more a werewolf movie than they are a body horror movie. If we were doing, like, a list of, like, 50, 100% we would include these. But if we're looking at films that are purely body horror and not also like something else, then I think werewolves movies, like, they get their own list, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and American Werewolf is a masterpiece. It's straight up one of the best movies ever made. But I think for a list like this, we should give flowers to something like Society or Splinter that's not always in the spotlight.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about the chest-bursting scene in the first Alien movie, and then also like the horrific bear creature in Annihilation in terms of body horror scenes, but those also fall under what BJ was just talking about, where like those movies could be categorized in other ways. And if we're trying to do something, for lack of a better term, a little bit more pure with this list, then they don't really make a ton of sense for inclusion there. But they are, I mean, especially the chest bursting scene, that is probably like up there among the most famous body horror moments in cinema history. So definitely worth a shout out at least.
All right, so I know, Chris, you want to mount an argument for John Carpenter's The Thing, or is that this is one where I'm prepared to fight back a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I really think it should count. I mean, I understand where you're coming from in that they're not really human, but that movie is very much about bodies being transformed and manipulated, and you know, very gooey movie. I feel like goo is a big qualifier for horror, for body horror. You gotta have some goo in there.
And yeah,
a lot of goo in The Thing.
I love The Thing. The Thing is a movie I will watch from beginning to end if you put it on. It's legitimately a top movie for me. I love every second of that film. It is incredible. But to me, the fact that the bodies being manipulated aren't human, the fact that like those bodies feel no pain and do not find their own transformations interesting or upsetting is what sets it apart from the rest of this list for me. I think it's one of the great creature design of all time. I just think that the fact that it's an alien intelligence that has no opinion on its own transformation makes it a harder sell for me.
Mm. Yeah, this is tough. Because I had it on my list as well, but yeah, I don't know. I guess for the purposes of this list, I'm okay with it being off, just because, again, with the categorization, like, you could call that something else primarily, you know, as a different type of horror or something. But I don't know. I guess I'm okay with letting that one go if we have to.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, fundamentally, if I'm, like, you know, pushing on my hipster glasses and, actually, it's not actually a bloody horror, like, I could do that all day. But also, the thing is crazy and is one of the most beautiful and disgusting and revolting movies that a person can watch. And so it feels like it's so good that it sort of defies those harsh parameters. I don't know. It's because normally I'd be like, no, other things. But I
like that as a defense, but it's so good that it defies the parameters. I like that idea.
Right. But then by that argument, so would American Werewolf in London. So it's just like, these damn genre bending. Why must we feed everything into these hard boxed lists?
And I said going in, I don't want to be an asshole, but I'm going to be an asshole and say that the thing, even if it is a body horror movie, I kind of like our list highlighting stuff that isn't already on 1,000 other lists. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure The Fly is going to be on every other list, you know? So
it's undistinguishably body horror. Like, there's no argument whatsoever that's
what it is. I see what you mean. Yes. On other lists aside from body horror lists. Yes. All right. Well, actually, with that, let's take a break and then we'll come back and finish the rest of this.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Fall into big savings all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Jacob, what do you think we should do from here?
Look, let's just go around the table. Let's see if there's a vote. If we all agree, if three or more of us thinks that the thing should move up into our final discussion list, we can move it up. I'm going to vote no on the thing.
I'll say yes. Let's do it.
I also vote yes.
It's up to you, BJ.
I know, and the pressure is so much. Okay, you know what? We're going to do some Agent of Chaos rules. Let's just put it up there and see what happens, see what number we end up at. And if it ends up being like we have 11 titles or something, then I don't know. We'll figure out what to do from there.
But we have three titles. I'm going to read them down because this is a really cool list of movies. We have Locked In for consideration for the top five, The Fly, Videodrome, Possessor, Slither, Tetsuo the Iron Man, Society, Splinter, and The Thing, which is a really, really cool list. And
Substance, Jacob?
Oh, shoot, yeah. Someone say something about The Substance. I did not listen to yesterday's episode yet, so give me the 30-second elevator pitch as to why it belongs on this list.
Well, first of all, have BJ and Jacob both seen The Substance yet?
I have not, no.
I have seen The Substance.
Okay, so I'm trying to, this is so tough without spoiling it, Chris, because we were kind of dancing around this a little bit on yesterday's episode, like how much do we say here? Because the movie technically comes out, I guess, tonight and will be out in maybe limited release this weekend. So I really don't want to spoil it, but I just will say that the third act of this movie goes to places that I personally, as a viewer, have never seen before. Like the extremity and the body horror in that movie is truly unforgettable. And the character designs and things like that are so extreme and over the top that that I just think it's going to be burned into the minds of anybody who actually watches this thing. So BJ, without spoiling anything, since Chris and I kind of agreed that this is a great movie and whatever, I just want to hear about what you think about this film.
So here's what I will say without spoiling anything, and why I do think that this movie is very much worthy of discussion, is that when we look at our list of body horror, of the stuff that we have here, it is very dominated by a lot of men having gross body things happen to them. The Substance is like very much monstrous feminine in terms of the body horror in ways that I think are very interesting to talk about because of how it is in direct conversation with like a lot of stuff that's going on with like beauty standards and like our dependence on like a look-based currency that exists in mm-hmm. our culture. So I think that alone is very important to highlight because we don't get a lot of those types of movies. And when we do, I don't think people take them seriously. There's a lot of short form about this sort of thing. That I will say, there's a lot of short horror films that are about this sort of thing, but The Substance really like kicks the door down and goes really hard with it.
I think Chris said this on yesterday's episode, but yeah, there were several times when I was watching the movie where I was like, I cannot believe that this movie got made at this level. It looks incredible and it clearly has like a pretty high budget, or if it doesn't have a high budget, they certainly stretched it to make it look like it did. So you really don't see movies like this come around very often. So I don't know. I think this should maybe even be a lock in the top five, but Chris, what do you think?
Man, I don't know. I don't want to be a contrarian because I love this movie, but it just feels so new. It feels like too new to include it on the list, but I also would not like make a stink about it being on there. Like I'm very easygoing about this. Whatever the group wants to do, I'll go along with it.
We're not here to be easygoing. We're here to yell about this.
I'm a follower, not a leader.
So, I will say I am with Chris on like the newness of it. Like I really love The Substance, but I don't think that it's top five compared to some of the titles that we have on here. But it is worthy of discussion because it's gross, but it's deliciously gross.
I was prepared to like say, I haven't seen it yet, but let's make this number five on the list because you guys are selling me on it. But if you guys feel it doesn't belong quite yet, then I can also bend that way.
Yeah, let's take it off because that's kind of the driving force behind this list. We'll say that we're doing this in honor of The Substance, so that's good enough for me, and hopefully this will do the job of putting that movie on people's radar, which is what I really care about. So yeah, let's go ahead and take it off and then go from there, Jacob.
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking. How about instead of trying to pick more off the list, let's pick some that we know 110% must be on the list. This list would not be complete without them. I think that's The Fly and Videodrome are on the final version of this list no matter what, right?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. I think those are the two immovable objects here.
Okay. So with that, with those who locked in for top five, we haven't ordered yet. That means of Possessor, Slither, Tetsuo the Iron Man, Society, Splinter, and The Thing, we need to pick three. So three of those got to go, and three of them make it in. Who has a strong opinion?
The one I'm really going to push for is Society. Like, that's the one I'm really going to push for because for as much as we love talking about, like, the practical effects of The Thing, which obviously they're incredible and Rob Bottin is a genius, the stuff that's going on in Society is at that same level and is just so disgusting. And Screaming Mad George is a maniac and he really went hard on this.
Yeah, I would say the Substance and Possessor are the two I would really like to be on the list. I meant Society. I'm sorry. Oh, Society and Possessor are the two, I would say. Yeah, Society.
Ben, I'm good with Society being in this top five of you are. I think it's a bit of a left field choice compared to like some of the lists I saw online, and I think that it's going to help us stand out, make us look like we're the film nerds we are.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. Good with me. And again, it'll drive more attention to it because I've never seen this thing, but I look forward to watching it.
All I will say, because it spoils absolutely nothing, there is a person who has a face in their butthole. Like, what else do you want?
Wow.
Okay, looking at what we have left here. Splinter is real nasty. I saw this years ago. I remember moments, but I remember all of it. Does Splinter make our top five compared to the heavy hitters next to it?
No, probably not. I really wanted to bring it up just because I think that it's completely underseen. But yeah, that probably isn't going to make top five.
All right.
I kind of think Possessor should be locked in.
I'm leaning that way too. Possessor really makes you feel uncomfortable in your own skin as you watch it. And that's kind of the whole point of this genre.
Yeah, I think that it's totally cool. Obviously, I love Tetsuo, but that is very much inspired by Cronenberg. So that movie doesn't exist without Cronenberg. I mean, literally, Possessor also doesn't exist without a Cronenberg. but I do think Possessor is... Brandon Cronenberg feels like an evolutionary next step in terms of body horror, and that's worth celebrating.
All right. So of Slither, Tetsuo the Iron Man, and The Thing, we got to pick one more to complete our list. And I know I said I haven't seen it yet, but I do know that Tetsuo's reputation makes me feel like we should have it on this list because it is a foundational film in the genre. I just hate to be the guy who makes that call without having actually seen the damn movie. Like I said, I've seen The Bullet Man, the third movie in the series, but not The Iron Man.
Yeah, am I the only person here who has seen it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so my suggestion is I think just all of you need to Google a photo and just by looking at that alone, tell me if you think it is worthy, because I think that sells it. Like, I genuinely do. I think that'll be like, oh yeah, that's not seen in other movies. We should keep it.
Wow, yes, I'm doing this right now. This is pretty out there.
Also, I feel like we should probably get a non-American film on this list. Just,
I mean, Cronenberg's Canadian, so technically.
Yeah, non-North American movie.
Yeah, it's so wild, and I love it so much. And any chance I get to make more people watch terrifying international movies, I'm going to take that chance.
I think it's Tetsuo.
Hell yeah.
That's fine with me. Yeah, let's do it.
Chris?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure. I agree.
All right, so we'll send off Slither and The Thing to not be on the list, but they were all tied for sixth place. So Slither is very good, and The Thing, as we know, is a masterpiece. All right, so we have our top five in no order yet. The Fly, Videodrome, Society, Possessor, and Tetsuo the Iron Man. I'm going to suggest Tetsuo for number five, just because BJ is the only one who's actually seen it here, and we're trusting her, and it feels like the right choice to make in terms of a group list.
I'm all for it.
That makes sense.
All right. I am going to shoot my shot. The Fly should be number one. Like, it's the most emotional, the most meaningful. It's the one whose body horror is there to shock and disgust, but also to drive a genuine emotional connection to the characters beyond just gore. I think The Fly is the top high watermark of what these movies can accomplish, and I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight that.
I agree.
Yeah, I also agree.
All right, so that leaves us spots 4, 3, and 2 between Videodrome, Society, and Possessor. Chris, is there one here you feel is a good number two or a good number four?
I would probably say Videodrome. I know it's, you know, that's two David Cronenbergs back to back, but I feel like the way I would rank it personally would go The Fly, Videodrome, Society, Possessor, and then Tetsuo. So that's how I would rank it, just because Possessor is the newest, so it just feels like it doesn't deserve to be the higher up one, even though I love it. That's how I look at it.
I have the same five of these five.
I can get behind this. I think this is so it would be Tetsuo, Possessor, Society, Videodrome, and The Fly in that order, going from 5 to 1.
Yep, 5 to 1. Yeah, that looks good.
Are we cool with this being, once this is locked in, we can never change it ever again. This is officially Slash Film's top five body horror movies. And We'll have to defend it with our lives from here on out. So we got to make sure we're good with this.
I'm good with the Jacob.
Yeah, I'm down. All I'm saying is that if we write this up, whoever has to write that intro, please include why the thing isn't here so we don't get well actually to death.
All right, in that case, number 5, Tetsuo the Iron Man. Number 4, Possessor. Number 3, Society. Number 2, Videodrome. Number 1, The Fly. No guilt at all about 3 of those movies being directed by people named Cronenberg.
Okay, before we wrap up, does anybody have any honorable mentions that they wanted to mention that we didn't talk about yet? Because I found a movie that I've never seen, but I think could be kind of incredible, and I was wondering if anybody here has seen it. It's called The Hands of Orlok. Has anyone ever seen this?
No.
So there's a version from the 1920s and then a remake from either the 50s or the 60s. I'll have to go back and look that up again. But I want to read the premise of this to you guys, the log line. A world-famous pianist who lost his hands in an accident gets a second chance after a transplant, but his new hands have the murderous tendencies of their previous owner. Which sounds a little body horror-ish and just sounds rad as hell. So I'm putting that one on my watch list.
Idle Hands, the early 2000s horror comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I've never actually seen that movie. Is Devon Sawa in that?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I never got around to seeing Idle Hands. Is that a good movie?
I love it. It's goofy. It's
okay.
It's real silly.
I definitely think there's an entire subgenre here of movies about cursed body parts given to somebody else. I feel like there's also others.
Yeah, like the eye.
Yes. Oh, the eye is good. The original eye is scary. Skip the remake. The original one is scary, though.
Yeah. I do have one honorable mention, and I hate that it's an honorable mention, but there are a couple of scenes in Cabin Fever that make me so viscerally upset, like the shaving scene. That brand of body horror is I love body horror when it goes beyond the realm of possibility and it's just so goopy. I can have that safe distance, but there are some moments in Cabin Fever where the early transformation body grossness is happening from the water that feels way too close to home, and it makes me physically recoil.
Mm. Yeah, I almost brought up Cabin Fever because I do not like it as a movie. I think it's pretty amateurish and not that fun to watch, but there are moments and scenes.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Excellent. All right, well, I think that's going to do it. Anybody have any closing thoughts or anything before we wrap it up?
Don't watch all 5 of these in a row on a full stomach, but other than that, I think we have a really good lineup of movies here, and human bodies are made of very easy to break things. That's sometimes we need movies to remind us of how upsetting that can be.
Yeah, all I gotta say is long live the new flesh.
Awesome. All right, well, I think that's gonna do it. You can find more about most of the movies that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com. I will try to link to a few things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.